One Man Revolution, Volume 2, Episode 20. And long live the revolutionary. Hey, it looks like I might have blown my headphones out. That's kind of cool. Hey, everyone. Today, it's episode 20 in our in volume 2, which started on our anniversary, February 14th. And here I am doing a cast a day in the month of May. And it is a fun and good time, let me tell you. Had a lot of conversations with Joey last night on the Ravenlocks podcast, and we're in some negotiations on doing some other things, and we will definitely keep you informed about what's going on. And why is it that my meter doesn't move at all when I'm actually recording, but when I am doing other things, it seems to jump all over the place? Oh well. Hey, I hope you guys are hearing me. I'm using the pro mics tonight instead of my normal just little headset mic. Well, just like it was expected, the Senate okays a new border fence and back citizenship as a chance for illegal immigrants to enter this country. Oh boy, that of course coming from the Associated Press, and I will come back to that in a minute. Hey, the president authorized $70 billion worth of a tax cut package today. This coming from the Washington Post. Bill Brubaker himself, he signed a $70 billion election year tax cut package, predicting that it will be a strong lift to the economy and it will help millions of Americans who are saving for the future. Oh, well, we'll see what happens. I'm going to definitely come back to that. All right, what else do we have here? Oh, look, the president this is from the Associated Press. The president helped raise $17 million for the Republican Party on Wednesday, a welcome financial boost amid the grand old party's gloom over the possible loss of majority control of Congress in November. Hey, you guys have had it for 6 years. You've had my majority control of the House, the Senate, the presidency, and now the Supreme Court. Guess what? You haven't gotten anything done. It's time for you guys to shit or get off the pot. Well, let's go ahead and pop in with Tripcord, Sick with Hate. Yeah, this is going to be pretty heavy, and it's in between the headlines, so you guys know I like to start strong. So, this is 3 minutes and 57 seconds of Tripcord Sick with Hate.
And I need some rest. think I put myself through. Convincing this is my fate. Now I'm living sick with hate. I'm living sick with hate. I'm still living.
Hate is such a strong word, isn't it?
Hey, everybody, it's me, the Revolutionary. I'm back with you.
Yeah, I'm sitting here reading this article from the Associated Press by Dave Esposito, and it's pretty interesting to see the response that the Republican Party has had. A lot of the inland senators are saying things, and this is a quote from Senator Chuck Hagel of Nebraska, said, "This is not amnesty, so let's get the terms right. Come on, let's stop the nonsense." You know, or let's take someone who's a little bit closer to the coast where people are coming in. It sort of reminds me of the famous line, "Methinks thou dost protest too much," responded Senator David Vitter of Louisiana. Now, the funny part is these are all Republicans, the grand old party people who have control of the Congress, the Senate, and the House, and they're sitting there, you know, basically throwing these things down against each other because no one else is fighting them. There were quite a few people, including a lot of Democratic senators that stood up and voted against this bill. And it's very difficult for me as an ordinary citizen, even though I am the Revolutionary, to look at these things and not laugh a little bit, because these guys are fighting over things that, you know, basically things you cannot solve with a single idea of putting up constructing a fence. You know, if you build it, they will not come in. The vote was to build what supporters called a real fence, as distinct from the virtual fence already incorporated in the legislation. The fence would be built in areas most often used by smugglers and illegal aliens. And this would be, a fence that would cost roughly $3.2 million per mile, and that would mean more than $900 million for 300 miles. Now, this provision in this bill calls for the construction of 500 miles of vehicle barriers and adding to a system that's currently in place. So my question basically is, you know, if we're going to build a fence that's three-tiered or something like they had in the Berlin Wall, basically building a wall between the United States and Mexico, why is it going to cost $3.2 million per mile to put in a fence? That seems to me to be very, I mean, it's 5,800, man, I know what a kilometer is. That's easy. That would be 1,000 meters. But a mile, man, it's been a long time since I've had to think about that. But a mile's worth of fencing, which is approximately 2,200 meters, doesn't sound like a whole hell of a lot of fencing to me. And I put up fencing around acreage and things like that, and it doesn't cost too much to put up a fence. But what they're talking about is a three-tiered, three-tiered fence that signals that the open border days are over, because good fences make good neighbors. Fences don't make bad neighbors. And that's coming, of course, from Sessions. Let's see. Rhetoric aside, who the heck is this guy? So, from Sessions. I think it's David Sessions. What the heck is that guy's name? Let's see. Chief Stephen Bloom. Harry Reid, one of the 31 Republicans and two Democrats that supported the amendment, blah, 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 Durbin. What we have here is a symbol, here has become a symbol of for the right wing in American politics, you know, countered Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois. He said, our relationship with Mexico would come down to a barrier between the two countries. So that's a rough, I mean, that's really, really rough. So all the Republicans and more than half the Democrats supported the proposal. A core group of bill supporters who have held off on their serious challenges of the past 2 days made little attempts to fight this one. You know, of course, they have many other things that they need to solve, like, gee, I don't know, how to make sure that once these people, even the people that are in the country right now, would have the ability to become citizens. So, let's see. If everybody remembers back in the old days, I did a whole thing about James Sensenbrenner and how he's a racist and other things like that. And you can check out that in the blog itself from last year. And he is now saying and taking a hard line. Basically, this entire thing is splitting the Republicans. And Sensenbrenner is saying that Bush has basically turned his back on a tough border security bill after requesting that certain laws have certain, you know, provisions included before the passage last year. All right, so several members of the rank and file have criticized Bush for his proposals, but to calm their concerns, you know, they're asking them to attend closed door meetings of the rank and file, thus putting up a wall between our Senate and the American people. So here's, let's see, since we're talking about building fences, well, a really good fence would be the one across Siberia that keeps the gulags apart, and this is called the Siberian Cathru Blues by Queejibo. It's a blues number, so if you don't like blues, skip ahead 6 minutes and 2 seconds. We'll be right back. Hey, something for everyone here on One Man Revolution. If you like good blues, come on, you got to like Queegee Bo. They also have a lot of other great tracks on the PodSafe Music Network. That's at music.podshow.com. We here at the One Man Revolution, that would be me, the one man sitting here behind the mic, and the mouse in my pocket, as I like to say sometimes. Let's look at today, Bush signing into law a $70 billion tax cut package. Now, this is an election year tax cut package, you know, trying to help millions of Americans who are, of course, saving for the future. I'm one of those. But unfortunately, Democratic leader Harry Reid from Nevada says, he's the Senate Democratic leader. He says, today's a really good day to be a millionaire, but it's a bad day if you want to be a millionaire. That's because President Bush just signed with a stroke of a pen a bill that sealed the fate of those trying to get ahead. You know, George says basically that, you know, King George, again, has no real backing for you or I or any of the other millions of Americans who are in what would be considered a middle income. Well, you know, he has no use for us because we're not going to donate millions of dollars, but I'll get to that in a minute, to his campaigns or the campaigns of his people. And King George said today about the tax cuts and how they'll benefit Americans at all income levels by stating, if you have a mutual fund for your family, these tax cuts made you better off. If you have an IRA or 401k, these tax cuts will provide a better retirement. Well, what's he listing as better? Well, let's see here. If you're a senior who depends on dividend income to make ends meet, these tax cuts have led to a better check each month. At all levels of income, the tax cuts on dividends and capital gains are letting Americans keep more of their own money and live a better life. Well, if you want to look to what the Republican Party is doing and why they're down the dumps, says Senator Charles Schumer of New York, it's the American people are beginning to understand that when they talk about tax cuts, they're not talking about helping the middle class people. They're talking about helping the wealthiest corporations and the individuals among us. This bill extends for 2 years the 15% tax rate for dividends and capital gains, which was due to expire at the end of 2008. And it also changes the alternative minimum tax, which was designed to increase the tax burden on the wealthy Americans, but also has hit people of the upper middle income families, and extends through 2009 a tax cut that gives small businesses a write-off of up to $100,000 for equipment and other depreciable assets. All right, so this eliminates all the way through 2010 the $100,000 income limitations for converting traditional IRAs to Roth IRAs. So even if you're making over $100,000, you can now convert to a Roth. All right, this is a lot of real, you know, financial junk, but, you know, this is a big problem in this country. It's the Republicans have always thought, and of course this administration has always thought, if you give money to the wealthy people, and you give more money in, you know, to people in their pocket, that they're going to spend it. Well, unfortunately, the money that we've been given in our pockets has had to be spent on $2.85 per gallon gasoline. It's also had to be spent on the increases for a lot of us here in the Southeast on our insurance for our homes and on the cost of insurance and the cost of taxes. You know, my taxes more than doubled after Hurricanes Charlie, Francis, and Jean. And then Hurricanes Rita and Katrina, which did not come directly and affect us, but, you know, they kind of skipped by. You know, they made a lot of companies out there afraid to come into Florida and offer us insurance on our homes, but yet still be allowed to offer automobile insurance on our cars. You know, the only thing I can say about that is that, you know, there's a company here that you probably have heard of called State Farm, and State Farm has proposed a 70% increase on its rates for homeowners insurance in the state of Florida. Now, just like these tax cuts, State Farm is saying, well, look at all these wonderful tax cuts and all these wonderful things that we're doing and how they're benefiting people. You know, well, a 70% increase isn't going to benefit anyone but State Farm. But the fun part is, and by the way, I was a loyal customer of theirs for 20 years until they decided that they no longer wanted to protect my house because I'm here in the Sunshine State. And they thought my house was too big of a risk because I'm here next to the beautiful Econ Estuary. And so they decided to pull out along with Allstate and a few others out of the state and stick us all with a very large bill from all of these independent insurance companies. You know, even though, you know, I paid in for over 20 years to the State Farm coffers. As soon as I needed that money, you know, others needed that money. You know, they basically didn't make it available. You know, so, and even though that I moved from just one house that's only 2 miles away to this house 3 years ago, they wouldn't cover me moving to here. You know, they said, oh, it's too risky for us to cover your house because of where it is. You know, well, little do they know that the house that I moved into here sustained less damage. I mean, it sustained a substantial amount of damage, but less damage than the house that I left. All right, so take that, State Farm, and stuff that in your pipe and smoke it. It cost you double because someone I know owns that other house. All right, so when we sit back and we look at these cuts, and now I say that, you know, State Farm is proposing 70% increases on their rates. What they'll do is they'll go into a closed door meeting with a bunch of the movers and shakers at the insurance commission, and say, and the insurance commissioner will say, hey, isn't there some way we can make a compromise? And the compromise will be, you know what? We'll bring it down to 3%. We'll bring it down 20%. We'll bring it down to 50%, a 50% increase of our rates. And the commissioner will go, oh, that is such a great compromise. We are so very, very happy. And it's the same thing that happens with all of these tax cuts, with all of these budget changes, that the drop looks so great that, you know, that looks like something's got, you know, something, you're getting something. Well, maybe State Farm really could get away with, you know, a modest 3% increase. And now they're giving themselves high fives because they've just made an additional 47% profit. All right. So you got to look, again, I always tell you, look behind what they're saying. So now they're talking about a $70 billion tax cut. Well, don't we have like an $8 trillion deficit, you know, because of this war in Iraq? Aren't we spending, you know, $280 billion on this war in Iraq and the rebuilding of Iraq when they said it would be, oh, no more than $7 billion? And guess what? Where's the money going to come from? You know, we just can't keep printing it. You know, where's our money? You know, our money comes from taxes. Our money comes from taxing corporations. Our money comes from levies. Our money comes from tariffs, which, of course, we haven't used in, you know, half a century to actually collect anything on it. All right. So our biggest problem right now is that if this was a business, we're way in the red without any way of pulling ourselves out. So, let's take another little musical break, and I'll come back and we'll talk about how King George raised $17 million for the grand old party in one day. And he's going to use that to make sure that, you know, the evil Democrats don't gear up for impeachment against him. So here's Alasola from Dockey and Little Wings, or Dakey and Little Wings, from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. And if you don't like it, it's only 5 minutes and 55 seconds. Actually, it's 5 minutes. Let's rewind this so that I give you the whole thing here. It's 5 minutes and 58 seconds. So if you don't like it, skip ahead 5:58, and I'll see you on the other side.
treasure. You want a seller, not ready to sell, to sell. Open your eyes and make a decision. This is the time to go to sleep, never come again. Tada boku wa soko ni aruku haku ni mi wo yutane. Kazamuki shio no nagare sono shizen no michiki ni ikiyo. Tomo ni nagarete kotoba ni wa keshite.
I know I might have a Ramirez in me. And that's, of course, Bacardi, 1 ounce of Bacardi Limon dumped into a Corona, in case you guys didn't hear the Cinco de Mayo recipe. And that's named, of course, after George Ramirez of the University of Central Florida. He and Revolutionary Anderson were sitting out at a bar one night, and they ordered a couple of those. And of course, I had to name it a Ramirez after George. So here's to you, Revolutionary Ramirez. But I don't think that song was in English. I don't know what it was, but I know it wasn't fully in English. Let me get back on the mic. Yeah, it was in like English and some Asian language and maybe some Portuguese and a drink of something. I don't know if you guys, I mean, I loved it. I mean, I like the song, and I know that it's really funny to throw in all this wacky and interesting music for you guys. And if there's a particular genre that you enjoy, please let the Revolutionary know at onemanrevolution@gmail.org, gmail.com, or just go to onemanrevolution.com.org, and man, just go to onemanrevolution.org and post a comment and tell us what, you know, if you liked a particular piece or if you disliked it. Now, in the category of tasteless yet full of class, let's talk about the Republican National Committee and their record spring gala. There was an event of 800 people crammed shoulder to shoulder into the Daughters of the American Revolution Constitution Hall, two blocks from the White House, to hear Bush speak, and they were treated to a isn't it wonderful NASCAR themed cocktail buffets with regionally themed stations positioned around the concert floor. Many of the attendees in cocktail attire donated more than the $1,500 per ticket price to the Republican National Committee's take. And it rose to a record $17 million for a non-presidential election year since the campaign finance laws have changed. Now, this is a pretty interesting gala because, you know, the finance chair of the Republican National Committee said, his name is Dwight Schar, or Schar, S-C-H-A-R, made the party's worry very clear. He said at the fundraiser, this may be the difference between a continued grand old party dominance of Congress and a Democrat-led Congress gearing up for impeachment. This will be a close election. Now, why would they even have the fear of impeachment unless their king, did something wrong? And we know he did a lot of wrong things. You know, he sent the troops into Iraq. He's been spying on us. He's been doing this. He's been doing that. You know, but to say in front of the cameras, in front of the reporters, well, this could be the difference between us being dominant and keeping the president from being impeached and a democratically led governmental agency, and they're going to go ahead and impeach King George. Well, the president repeatedly voiced optimism and signaled a no-holds-bar effort against Democrats. I thought we were one government, but, you know, hey, what are you going to do? Whom he argued would run up your taxes, increase the deficit, and enact short-sighted isolationist policies and fail to perfect... Oh, man, I can't even say this with a straight face. And fail to protect family values and national security. Okay, let's talk about those in peace. I think that the president has, good old King George, has increased the deficit more than any one president ever. I mean, we're talking more than George Washington, more than Jefferson, more than Lincoln, was it Woodrow Wilson, and more than Roosevelt, I think combined in 6 years. They'll run up your taxes. Of course, we just talked about the $70 billion tax cut, quote unquote, that he put out.
And also, you know, he says that they will enact short-sighted isolationist policies. Well, what was this? What was your speech about on Monday, Georgie Porgy Puddin' Pie? It was about isolating us from Mexico, and not handling our people. You know, come on, man. You know, you're saying one thing, you're doing another, and that really pisses me off. You know, and it says and you know, protecting fail to protect you against fail to protect our national security. Hey, guess what? Two buildings were fell down on your watch, and the rest of the world hates us now, and it's your fault. You know what? Fuck you. That's all I got to say. I'm sorry to be so rude about it, but you know, I really despise people that are saying things like, "Oh, this is going to be a close election," you know, while you're talking to the Republican faithful, which all that means is reach into your pockets and give us more money. And that more money equals four times as much money in the bank as the Democratic National Committee has in hand. This Republican National Committee raised $35 million in the first quarter and now has almost $43 million in the bank. The Democratic National Committee, meanwhile, raised $18 million in the first quarter and actually spent money. And they only have $10.5 million on hand, you know, and this off-year election is when we can actually enact change. So revolutionary thought for today. Are you registered to vote? If you're not, why not? Go out and register to vote. It's a simple process. You go down to your voter's registration and you say, "I want to register to vote." And when they ask you what you want to vote, what you want to register as, you say Republican, Democrat, Independent, Communist. I don't care what you say you are, just as long as you do it. And you know what? The president only won the election last time because only 12% of the people elected him. That means that 88% didn't give a shit of who was elected. Okay? Think about that next time you say that your vote doesn't matter. All right. So the gala raised, $17 million. And Bush said, you know, that the voters had a stark choice. We're the party of the future and our candidates will run against the party of the past. A party that offers no new ideas like the Republican Party. A party that can only offer opposition. You know, so basically he's sitting around in front of people that he knows. By the way, you can only get into these events if you sign a loyalty oath to the President of the United States. Okay? You can't get in these events if you were the revolutionary. Of course, they won't let me in with my mask and my tri-corner hat either because they say I might cause a problem. But, hey, I go out in public in those all the time. But the point is that they won't let the opposition in. So King George will rarely have anyone who stands up and says, "Hey, dumbass, by the way," and they say, oh, wait a minute, you just said the magic word. You just broke the legal document that you signed, that loyalty oath, and you get to leave. And we're going to sue you for it. You know, there's nothing that you can do in the presence of the president without signing that loyalty oath. And that's to keep you from doing something like what the revolutionary would do, is I would ask the hard questions. And that's why I would not sign a loyalty oath to the president, the Republican, or the Republican Party, because I am an American and I uphold the Constitution of the United States, which gives me the freedom of speech, the right to bear arms, and the right not to be illegally searched or surveyed by the government. And guess what? This man has done all three. Well, okay, I'll give Gunner the right to bear arms, but he has impeded all three of those things, all right? And that's only three of the multitude of constitutional amendments and the Constitution itself that exists to provide we the people, okay, to provide what we need to form a good and stable government. So they are 4-1 over the Democratic National Party in collecting money. And who says you can't buy an election in this day and age? That $43 million is going to be used for negative campaign ads against Democrats, just like he did to John Kerry, just like he did to Al Gore, just like has been done to every Democratic politician by this current Republican administration since the beginning. Now, like I said, this isn't a Republican or Democrat issue. These are just labels that we put on things. Now, for me, just do what's right. All of these tax cuts, all of this immigration policy, all of these things that are being put up in front are not solving the problems that we have before us. So revolutionize the way you work in your daily life. And wow. It sounds like the Republicans have put some sneezing powder in front of me today. And sit back and relax and make sure that you revolutionize your life and find a way to get this horrible taste out of our mouths and fill it with something a little bit sweeter. All right. These Republicans and these nouveau riche and these other people that are in control. And by the way, I don't know if Halliburton or KBR is going to build that fence, but that would probably account for why it's, why it's so many millions of dollars per mile to build a fence. But that's all right. You know, maybe they're saying they're going to dig a trench so that they don't have to follow the terrain, which is probably what they're estimating. All right. But the Republicans are collecting money, $4 to every $1. It'll probably be 5-1 by the time it's all said and done. And you're going to see a lot of advertising against the Democratic hopefuls for the House, because the entire House and I think it's 1/3 of the Senate is up for grabs in this election. Yeah, it's 1/3 of the Senate seats and all of the House seats are up for grabs in this election. And if you go out and vote, you can make a change and you can be revolutionary. So this is the One Man from One Man Revolution. You can reach me at onemanrevolution@gmail.com or on the website at onemanrevolution.org. You can also catch me on the Ravenlox Entertainment Report at ravenlox.com, RAVENLOCHES. That's a little lighter show. We talk about movies, gaming, anime, and all the fun things that are entertaining, television. That goes up once a week, and hopefully more if we could get a different schedule to get together. We're not doing the one a day for the month of May. We might be doing something for June for Ravenlox Entertainment, but we're doing the one a day for the month of May for here. This is the 17th episode in a row for the Revolutionary, and I've tried not to shank you on any of them. All right, so just remember that I love you, and that it only takes one man to stand up and say, "I can't take it anymore," to start a revolution. See ya.